The following episode contains content that some listeners may find disturbing and/or may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Connect Groups podcast series.
Good afternoon, podcast listeners. This is Abby Gross, the Sector and Community Development Officer at Connect Groups. And before we get started today, as always, we're going to do a quick acknowledgement of country. So today I would just like to acknowledge that we are meeting on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people. And here at Connect Groups, we want to pay our respects to all of the elders, past, present and emerging. Acknowledge their connection to land, community and waters, and then also make sure that we acknowledge anyone that's listening, anyone that's on Whadjuk land that has a lived experience. So today we have had a bit of a technical issue, but Ryan from Survivors and Friends Support Group has been lovely enough to come back and record this for the second time. So how are you going today, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going pretty good, Abby. How about yourself?
Good. I will apologise that we had to record this twice, but...
It happens.
It just means that we get to dive deeper into what you do and how you facilitate your support group. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the group and how you guys were founded and your vision?
Oh, okay. So the support group was founded by one of the other group members, Jared. He founded the group upon the basis of historical abuse by the church, specifically the McMahon brothers. And it was founded so to have like a sort of peer support service where men who were abused either by the McMahon brothers or other people can come and just chat.
You say that you just kind of have a chat. Is that really the whole basis, that you just want to create that safe space for people who feel a connection to the group to come in and just talk, or are you hoping to expand and do more things?
Well, it depends on how much people come. So if a lot of people come, then we could have more structured meetings. But if it's a few people, we will just have a chat and just see how everyone's been hanging on in their lives. So you know, they get stuff off, we get stuff off. But if there are more people, we usually want to talk about, you know, positive things, what you can do, who you can see, you know, how, what's worked for you, what hasn't worked for you in the therapeutic aspect. You talk about it, but not in specific detail.
If you feel comfortable to, you don't have to go into those details. You can still just show up and be a part of the conversation.
Definitely. Just come and be in the room.
Yeah.
You know?
So is there a criteria for someone that needs to become a part of this group, or is it quite a broad spectrum of people that you have coming?
There's no real criteria. It's just like a set of rules that we have. You know, there's no like legal names mentioned in the group. So some people are going through things, and there's a lot of like law mumble jumble that we go through with a lot of these cases. It's quite taxing, and so we don't really bring it up just in case of re-traumatization. And we try to keep the conversations light and breezy.
So I know you just said that you don't normally go into details about things, but if you feel comfortable, if you want to go into kind of how you found this support group and how that support group has helped you.
Okay. Yeah. I was seeing a psychologist at SARC, and she recommended the support group. It was like a while, like after that, I called Jared up. We had a chat, and he was like, yeah, there's a meeting on in the next month or so. And I went to the meeting and I was like, oh, yeah, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know? So I just kept going. And it became a place where I could see that, you know, I was doing good, because like people, you know, they were praising me for the things that I've been doing, because, you know, I put a little bit too much pressure and things on my life, like holding myself to some weird standard. And then, you know, you talk on it and they're like, whoa, like, you know, like, you gotta let yourself off, you know, because like dealing with these dealing with the abuse, it can be quite psychologically hard.
Right.
Like, you know, you deal with like many facets of like messed up cognition, like your thoughts are like suicidal, all bad stuff essentially. Yeah.
And now that you're a psychology student, I'm sure this is all coming a bit more clearer to you about everything.
Yeah, I read a lot up on like child abuse before, and it cleared up a lot of things. It was like, oh, I felt that. Oh, yeah. So like, oh, I've done that. Oh, yeah. So you read the description of what a typical person is going to go through. And I was like, ah, so I went through all of that, but I didn't have the words for it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it breaks the walls a little bit, and you're sort of like, it's all right. But then it's the dealing with it. Like, you can understand the psychology, but it's the day to day. It's like the Monday, the Tuesday, and like dealing with those. That's what the hard part is.
Right. Yeah. So, and I know you've told me before that you kind of, you didn't fall into this group, but you found it during COVID, when I'm sure a lot of people felt extremely isolated and alone or trapped in their houses or things like that. So did this group kind of help you post-COVID kind of have an outlet to how you were feeling, or like self-discover why you're feeling the way that you're feeling?
The group helped. But there was a lot of stuff that I was doing in COVID to like pull myself up out of that hole.
Yeah.
Like, I took on a lot of like psychology information, a lot of philosophy, and a lot of like exercise. And then the group became that sort of external source where I could, you know, expand on what's going on. And I could also like help some other people, because, you know, when I go there, like, it's not just me talking, it's like the other guys talking, because they're going through similar things, maybe even the same. And it helps them when they get to talk, and, you know.
So I know you do all those sessions at the State Library.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything in the works that's going to move away from the State Library? Are you going to have any new events coming up? Any new meeting locations?
Not anything yet. We still got to talk to the small grants team, which the deadline is coming soon. So we are going to organize that meeting. And when we recorded this last, we'll talk about like nature walks. And I definitely love to do those. And I'd like to just talk with the group, see what they want to do. You know, I could suggest it. I mean, I like walking, but they may not. So we could do like barbecue or anything that's like the general consensus of what the group would want to do. It's like we leave it open, and then we could use that sort of notion and be like, oh, there's bike riding, there's park walks, there's barbecues, and we'll be like, oh, we'll do this week.
But first you're just still growing and getting new members and trying to figure out how all of those sessions are going to flow, and kind of give you a bit of a chance to practice facilitating and make sure that you are an expert where it's in a nice calm environment in the library, and then you can transition out and put your Ryan flair all over it. So I know you talked about that you've done some trainings with us and that you're wanting to reach out and do some small grants, but really what's the major way that Connect Groups has been able to assist you and assist your group in growing and becoming a bit more sustainable?
Well, the first thing is that I've got this wonderful training from Abby, I think her name was.
She sounds pretty cool.
You want to give us training, you've given the training, and there's like other workshops. There's a lot of support, and you know, it's good to know that like if I'm seeking that extra training, it's there. And there's still the small grants team that we have to talk to, and that would help even more to help us do, you know, miscellaneous activities. Yeah, you know, they've helped out a lot, and it's just been great to have an institution that's, you know, wanting to help their members flourish.
Yeah, but that's exactly what we're here to do. So thank you so much. So if someone was looking to get in contact with you or someone from the support group to figure out what the group's about or where you guys are meeting, what would be the best way to go about that?
It would be best to email either myself or Jared. And my email is rr iGG77@gmail.com. And Jared's is JLUSCOMBE72@gmail.com.
So I don't have any more questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, I would. I'll just want to send like a shout out to all the people or like going through what they're going through, either young, old, male, female, any gender, that are going through child abuse symptoms, like they're going through the law, they're going through the criminal justice system, anything. It's important that you deal with it or you go through it as soon as you can and you start talking to people about it so you can get back to living your life and not losing those precious years you'll lose if you don't go through it.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you for, again, being so vulnerable and being so open to talking to me and anyone who's listening today about your experience and the growth of the group Survivor and Friends. So that's it for us today, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you.